A lot, but I'm going to plow through this. Okay, so today's shiur, Be'ez Hashem, is going to focus in on Tzadik Tes, Aleph through Dalet. Many of you already started it with the Rosh Hashanah, but we're going to do a little bit of a deeper analysis in the role of Kedera and of Atzamos in terms of your shiur Bittul. That's going to be the agenda, and we're going to show that there's a very, very fundamental understanding for how the shiur Bittul works in general that comes out of these two issues of a Kedera and of a Tzamos. So we all know that when Isser falls into Heter, the capacity for Isser to Aser the Heter is through Nesinas Tam. That's before for many, many Gemaras, as we've seen. And the Shir Shishim, the Shir Bittul that we use, is a Shir that is meant to Mivatel the Tam of Isser that is coming out of the Isser. And Pashtus, which is clear from the Gemaras and Tzadik Zayin Rabbeis, that the role and the function of a Shir Bittul is meant to neutralize and to somehow make the Tam of Isser to become not discernible anymore, no longer detectable. If I have a Shir Bittul of Shishim, the Tam of Isser is no longer discernible, no longer detectable. The Tam Ki'ikar Halacha no longer is applicable because I can't taste the Isser. If I can't taste the Isser, Tam Ki'ikar no longer applies. And I can rely on the Din D'oraisa Bittul Barov. So Shir Bittul is meant to negate and to mevatel the Tam. And the way it does it is by making it discernible, no longer detectable. What's not clear exactly is what contents in a Tairoves add up to my Shir Bittul. What, when we say content of Heter is Mevatel Isser, what parts of a Tairoves scenario do we use to contribute towards the Shir Bittul? So Pashtus, which is Rav Chanina and Dav Tzadik Zayin, the simple understanding is foods for sure count towards Heter. All edible foods count, and Rav Chanina spells this out. Rotev, which is the sauce, the some kind of liquid in the Tairoves, that certainly counts towards Shir Bittul. Kipa, which means sediment, whatever that means, but sediment, the sediment that comes into the Kedera, that all counts towards the Shir Bittul. And of course, Chatichas of Heter, anything that is edible and has a taste is able to contribute towards the Shir Bittul. But what about foods that are inedible? Or that's an oxymoron, but content that is inedible. And what are the two classic examples of the Tairoves of contents that are not edible? We have Kedera, the Guf HaKedera. And just to be clear, when we say Guf HaKedera, we mean the metallic substance right over here in the pot. We mean this metallic substance that is made up and comprises the material of the actual pot. The Guf HaKedera is inedible. It has no taste. Metallic, but it doesn't have a taste. Or any other shar kalim. And number two, we have atzamos. Atzamos also classically, mina pashtus, don't have a taste. They're bones. They are dried up bones. Maybe not soft ones, but at least the dried up bones don't have a taste inside. We're not talking about the marrow. Marrow, yes, my mother-in-law loves to suck the marrow out of bones. We're not talking about the marrow. The moach, which is disgusting, by the way. Moach does not count. I'm not talking about the moach. But the actual bones are just like eights. They're wood. That's what the Rishonim equate Atzamos to. Okay? Atzamos sounds like eights also. So these are the two issues, Kedera, Gufa Kedera, and Atzamos, that have to be analyzed. And we're going to see through these two Gemaras that are going to analyze each one of these issues a fundamental, fundamental analysis for how to understand the role of a Shir Bittul and how it works, the underlying mechanics. So let's begin with the first Gemara that analyzes the Gufa Kedera. So the Gemara Tzayim Abayz brings down Rav Chanina, who says, like we said, that you're able to mesha'er for Heter, the rotev, the kippah, the chatichos of Heter. And then Rav Chanina quotes a cryptic word. He says, a kedera. Kedera also works. So the Gemara doesn't understand, what does Rav Chanina mean when he says kedera? So the Gemara in Tzadik Zayin Abayz brings down two lishonos for what Rav Chanina means when he says the word kedera can count towards your Heter. The Lishna Kama says, Jason, very good. The first Lishna says, Lishna Kama, Kedera Atzma. Kedera means Kedera Atzma, Kipshuto. The Guf HaKedera, the metallic substance that surrounds the pot, that counts towards your Shir Heter. Okay? Lishna Basra comes along, and based on Rashi and the Rashba and the Ran and the Marmakomos, comes to reject the first Lishna and says, Guf HaKedera Lo Olal Adas. We would never ever use the metallic substance of a Kli towards your Shir Heter. What does Kedera mean in Rav Chanina? It means the Maidabala Kedera. the absorptions of heter that took place during the bishul when you cook the iser and heter together, you can estimate the amount of absorptions that went into the pot that got absorbed into the cavity of the pot, and you can use that towards your shear bittul. You can't use the metallic substance, but you can estimate how many bleas you lost during the cooking process. And the way the Ritva and the Rashba and the Ran all spell it out is that lemushel, you have iser that falls into heter. You knew clearly that you had 60 against the iser. You had a shear bittul against the iser. And then all of a sudden, after the cooking finishes, you look at your pot and you only have 59 units against the iser. So where did the other heter go? So says the Ran and everyone, the Rashba, that you can assess that one unit of the heter became absorbed into the cavity of the gufa kli, into the cavity of the kli, and you can estimate that that is my 60th unit. You obviously had 60 before. It must have shrunk at a quicker rate than the iser. And the bleas of heter now, the edible bleas of heter that were absorbed in, can be counted towards your shear bittul. And that's what kedera means. It means my debala kedera. This is the machlokas between Lishna Kama and Lishna Basra. Lishna Kama holds kedera atzma, gufa kedera. Lishna Basra rejects kedera atzma. We can never use the charseh hakedera, the actual metallic substance. Rather, we use the absorptions, the bleas of heter that were absorbed in. This is the machlokas. And the question becomes, what exactly is the hesber in this machlokas? Now, like Rav Parnas used to quip, you read a Gemara, two Lishonos, Lishna Kama, Lishna Basra, one holds Kedera Atzma, one holds B'mai Dabala Kedera, you go weiter, that's it, two Shitas. There has to be Amkus. Obviously, if Rav Chanina said a statement and there were two Lishonos in the Gemara, obviously the Gemara has two different visions for how to understand Kedera Atzma. The Gemara doesn't have any indication either way what Kedera means, just as Kedera. So there has to be some kind of Amkus, some kind of underlying Machlokas between Lishna Kama and Lishna Basra. So the Prima Gadam, very important Prima Gadam to look at. And Mishpato Zav, it's on Yomar Mekomos. And Simon Sadi Tess, in the very beginning, he likes to give these Hagdama Shiurim. And the Prima Gadam says that this is dependent on a fundamental different approaches in how to understand the mechanics and the underlying mechanics of a Shear Bittul. On a basic level, the Shear Bittul of Shishim is meant to neutralize the Tam of Iser. But how exactly does the shear bittul of heter neutralize the tam of iser? There are two ways, two different approaches for how to understand the neutralization, if that's a word, the neutralization of the shear of the tam of iser. The first approach is to say that it works in the manner of hispashtus. That when a person has, when there's a tam of iser that is being no sing tam, attempting to be no sing tam into content of heter, well, if you have enough of a content of heter, enough volume, the tam of iser is going to distribute evenly amongst all of the volume of heter. And to the extent that if you have a sheer shishim of volume of heter, that tam of iser is going to memela just become so diluted that you're not even going to be able to detect it. This is called hispashtus. That the way in which tam of iser becomes no longer discernible and no longer tam ke'ikr is by allowing the heter to absorb all of the tam of iser, and if you have a certain amount of tam of content of heter, namely a shir shishim, you're going to absorb so much of the tam of iser that you're no longer going to be able to detect the tam of iser. It absorbs it, and it's mispashet and mispazer. It just comes distributed. This is the classic mashal of the in camp. The camp director always tries to like perk up the campers. He'll put a big cooler. And he'll put some water, tons of water, and he wants to like show how fancy the camp is. So he'll put some petal, some liquid, red liquid inside to make it fruit punch, look how chashim we are, fruit punch. But everyone knows that because there's so much water in there and only a little bit of fruit punch, it's much better rather not to put the punch inside the cloud. Just let me have water. But that's exactly what the point is. The more diluted the punch is, the less concentrated it is. It's no longer called punch. This is just petal, it's just red water. Leave it as water. Same thing when it comes to tarovas. When the iser is no saint tam, tries to be no saint tam into the content of heter, if there is less than the shir shishim, so you'll be able to detect it, because even though it absorbed a lot of it, but it's still concentrated enough. But if you have a shir shishim or more, then the tam of iser dissipates, and it becomes distributed evenly, it's mispashet, it's completely diluted, and you can't taste the tam of iser. This is the first approach. We're going to call this approach hispashtus, spreading out, being mefazer the iser amongst the heter. The second approach is a much different approach. The second approach holds that the way, the functioning of shir bittul to neutralize the tam of iser is not based on absorbing all the tam of iser and memela making it diluted, but rather it works through hisnagdus, that the tam of heter is able to be misnagged and clash and mask and override the tam of iser that is trying to be nosing tam into the heter. Because the tam of iser has one type of tam, and the tam of heter has a different type of tam, that different type of tam is camouflaging, and it's clashing with the tam of iser. I wanted meat. I wanted to eat meat, nevela. But what ends up happening, I have vegetable tam that is coming to override and mask and camouflage the tam of basa that's coming out of the nevela. I no longer taste a geshmak, a piece of meat from the nevela. I taste meat with vegetable in it. So the meat tam is no longer discernible because the tam of the vegetable is being misnagid, it's clashing, and it's masking, overriding the tam of iser. These are the two approaches that the Prima Gadim sets down, which is a fundamental understanding of the mechanics for how the shear of bittul operates to neutralize tam. Is it midin hispashtus, that the tam becomes dissipated because it's distributed amongst a large area and it becomes absorbed and it no longer is discernible? Or is it because it was mishisnagdus, that the tam of heter was able to override and mask and camouflage? Just to bring out this chakira, let's plug it into this gemara, and then Gilad, you can ask your question. So what's the nafka mina? It's both sound like very nice pshatim. The nafka mina is this shaila, this machlokas in the gemara. This of the Lishna Kama versus Lishna Basra is tully on how you understand the mechanics of bittul. If you understand that the mechanics of bittul work through hispashtus, then it doesn't matter whether or not you're dealing with edible content or inedible content. Inedible content is able to absorb just like edible content. So says the Lishna Kama, when Rechanina said kedera, it means kedera atzma. The guf hakedera, the metallic substance, hagam, even though it doesn't have tam, it doesn't have its own inherent tam, but it's still able to serve as a sponge, it's still able to absorb the tam of iser from the nevela. So says the Lishna Kama, it works midin hispashtus. And that's why he allowed the kedera atzma to work. However, if you work with the understanding that the way bittul operates, the mechanics is such that it works through hisnagdus, then the only way the tam of iser becomes camouflaged and masked and overridden is if the heter has tam in it. So when it comes to edible food, yeah, we have opposing tam that's able to negate and neutralize and camouflage, override, mask, whatever word you want to use, the tam of iser. But the kedera itself, the gufa kedera, the metallic substance, that has no inherent tam on its own. It's just metal. That can't override and mask the tam of iser, and therefore the second Lishna rejects the Lishna Bas, the Lishna Kama, and says that the only thing Rav Chanina meant was the Mai de Bala Kedera, the blias of heter that were absorbed by the Kli, yeah, that has tam, that has its own tam, that can be misnagged, that can clash, that can mask, that can override the tam of iser that came from the nevela. So this is the fundamental machlokas between Lishna Kama and Lishna Basra. It's not just two shitas, do you take into account the guf of kedera or not, but it's a fundamental analysis for how to understand what the mechanics are for the shir bittul. Shir bittul, on a basic level, neutralizes the tam, but how does it work? Does it work through hispashtus, or does it work through hisnagdus? And the nafka mina is this gemara. If kedera atzma would be effective to count toward your shir bittul or not. If you say hispashtus, it does, because it can absorb. If you say hisnagdus, it doesn't. It does not work, because it doesn't have its own tam. Go ahead, Gilad, first. I'm sorry.
I'm bothered by something else now, but I think my first question was...
Okay.
I think my first question was, what's the metzius of like, the tar of bittul? No. You have tarobes, which is hashish, meaning the feast that we're tasting both tasting both like the heter, and we're also just not tasting.
When you have shishim, when you have shishim, you just taste the heter. Cool. You just taste vegetables. You don't taste the you don't taste the nevela of tam. You just taste heter. You taste vegetables. It's not discernible. You don't taste the meat of nevela. Yeah. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay. Go ahead, Shia.
I was gonna ask, this sounds like a
machlokas mitzias.
I mean,
not a machlokas mitzias. Both are occurring. But it's two ways.
No, but isn't it a machlokas? The shita that holds his nagdos holds that the spashas would not negate the tam. Meaning, they both agree the spashas is happening, but one shita holds his spashas does negate the tam, one doesn't. Isn't that mitzias?
No, why would that be mitzias? The first shita is holding.
This dilution prevents tam, and that's a mitzias thing.
They're both occurring. But what is koveya, the reason why the time of Isser is no longer in his bato?
No, but even if that hishpashas could cause, could negate time, should be even see his thing.
But they both occur at the same time. At the sheer bittul of shishim, both hishpashas and his nagdus occur.
So isn't his nagdus saying that hishpashas would not result in...
And not in mitzias. Obviously it's diluted, you can't taste it anymore. But that's not how bittul operates. The reason why at the point of shishim, its mutter is not because it was distributed evenly.
Let's say you can isolate the two factors.
That we just did.
What is not right?
Keder. Keder, we isolated it. We have hispashtus. It's completely distributed evenly. And you can't taste it anymore. Because the kedera atzma, the gufa kedera, absorbed all the tam of Isser. But says,
so
but you can't.
So that's my word is Messias then.
No, why? He says you can't use. Okay, so let's discuss it later. Fine. Okay. These are the two different visions in... I thought you meant something else when you said mitzias, but there are two different ways of which mitzias are we operating with. They're not arguing about whether it happens or not. Okay.
I understand.
Okay, so let's do that. Okay, so that's kedera. That's how we analyze kedera. The guf ha-kedera, as to whether it counts for your jashir bittul or not, depends on his pashtos versus his nagdus. Everyone chop the two categories. Okay, before we go back there. Okay, sorry. Now let's go on to the second Gemara of Atzamos. So the Gemara says, in Chulin Tarichesam Beis, through Tarichesam Aleph to Tarichesam Beis, the Gemara brings down Mishua ben Levi, Mishum bar Kapara. And although we paskin that the Shir Bittul is Bishishim, Mishua ben Levi bar Kapara had two, there were two understandings in Mishua ben Levi bar Kapara for how to understand this, the required ratio that you need for a shir bittul. Rav Chiya bar Abba says shishim, like we know, that's how we paskin. But Rav Asi says we go with 100. Meya is the shir bittul. And the Gemara goes on to say that these two Amorayim who understood Rav Levi bar Karpara learned their respective shitas of 60 and 100 from Zeruah B'Sheila. Zeruah B'Sheila very quickly is where a Nazir at the end of his term of Naziris has to bring a carbon aisle for his end of his Naziris. And the Gemara says, based on different shitas in the Gemara, Tarichas and Beis, we're working with 3 out of 4 of them right now. The Gemara says that you have to cook the aisle with the Zroa, with the arm, when you eat it. Now the Zroa goes to the Kohen. The Nazir is going to eat, the Yisrael is going to eat the remaining part of the aisle. So the Gemara is bothered. We know the Zroa goes to the Kohen, and if there's a Hanacha that you have to cook the Zroa with the aisle, what will come out will be that the bliyas of a Zroa will be nosing tam into the aisle. And how is the Yisrael, how is the Nazir able to eat the aisle? How is he able to consume the aisle? He's getting bliyas of the Zroa with the aisle. So the Gemara says, you see from here that if the Torah is allowing this to occur, that the aisle has the requisite sheer bittul against the amount of bliyas in a Zroa. And the Gemara says, shishim and meya depends on how you evaluate this case. The Man D'Amar who held that we go based on Shishim says that we do take into account the Atzamos. And as Rashi says, since the Zroa's Atzamos have a lot of Atzamos, and if you do the ratio between the Zroa and the Basar of the Zroa and the Atzamos of the Zroa versus the Basar and the Atzamos of the Ayil, you'll come out with a ratio of 60. However, says the Gemara, the Fida Man Damar who holds Meya, we completely ignore the Atzamos, we only take into account the Basar. And since the Zroa has very minimal Basar, and the Isle has tons of Basar, so you end up with a ratio of 100. This is the Gemara, 60 and 100, and the Gemara says it depends on how they evaluated Atzamos. Do we take into account Atzamos or not? Now, based on the Rush in Zayin Lamed, he brings down a Yerushalmi, which we're not going to get into right now because it's a little bit thorough. The Yerushalmi brings down a similar case in Hay Gimel regarding peels, regarding different types of peels and shells of different types of fruits and vegetables, where the Gemara over there also has a corollary analysis for how we take into account peels, which are also inedible, a third type of inedible content, peels and shells. And the Gemara says, Lefi the Manda Amar, who holds Shishim, he holds that not only do you take into account the Atzamos of Heter towards the Heter, but even the Atzamos of Isser, even the peels, I'm sorry, of Isser, also count towards the Heter. And the way the Rush is Miyashiv, the Yerushalmi, and the Bavli, it comes out that the Manda Amar of Shishim in our Bavli, who takes into account Atzamos, and the Yerushalmi are all Miyushav. And the Rush says that the Fi, the Manda Amar, who holds Shishim, he says that we take into account the Atzamos of Heter towards the Heter, and even the Atzamos of Isser, all are Mitztarev to the Heter. They don't count towards your Isser. So when it comes to the Man D'Amar holds Shishim, an inedible content like Atzamos or peels, says the Rush, Lefi the Man D'Amar Shishim, all Atzamos, Bein Be'Isser, Bein Be'Heter, they all go towards the sheer Heter again for your Bittel. However, the Man D'Amar who holds 100, says the Rush, completely ignores the evaluation of Atzamos. They don't work for Isser, they don't work for Heter, they are completely ignored. So says the Prima Gadim, this analysis that we just had by Kedera, the machlokas between Lishna Kama and Lishna Basra, as to whether or not you take into account the inedible content, namely a Kedera, the Gufa Kedera, should also thread itself into this machlokas between the Manda Amar of Shisha and Manda Amar of Meya, as to whether or not we take into account Atzamos, where the Prima Gadim says the same analysis, working with the understanding that the mechanics of Bittel, the Shishim, Bittel I should say now, the sheer Bittel, works through his Hispashtus, that the Heter is able to absorb and completely distribute the Tam evenly to the extent that it's diluted and you can no longer taste it. So Hagam, even though Atzamos don't have any inherent meaningful Tam, they're just dead pieces of tree, but they're still able to serve as a sponge. They're able to absorb. And therefore the Man D'Amar of Shishim will allow you to take into account the Atzamos, not only of the Heter, but even of the Isser. Because since the Atzamos of Isser don't have their own Tam, they can't hurt you, but they can still help you in terms of Heter, they can absorb. So says the Man D'Amar of Shishim, of course you can take into account Atzamos, because the way in which Bittel operates is through Hispashtus. However, if you work with the understanding that mechanics of Bittel work through Hisnagdus, that you need an opposing Tam of Heter to negate, to camouflage, to mask, override the Tam of Isser, so it'll come out that by Atzamos, it won't help you. You completely ignore them. The Atzamos of Isser can't hurt you because they don't have Tam, but the Atzamos of Heter can't help you. Nothing can help you because the Atzamos of Heter don't have a Tam to negate the Tam of Isser. And so says the Prima Gadim, if you work with this analysis, we can now explain these two Gemaras. The Shaila that we had, the Nidon of Kedera Atzma, whether or not you're allowed to use the Kedera itself, the Gufa Kedera, or you have to Dafka use the Bliyas. And this Shaila of whether or not you use Atzamos or not is all dependent upon these two visions of the mechanics of Bittel. Is it working through Hispashtus or it's working through Hisnagdus? That was step one and step two, and now we get to step three, and this is how we're going to close off. But before we get to step three, any kashas up until now? Same analysis. Nothing changed. Okay, so now, watch this. Now everyone has to hold cup. Okay, we're going to kill three birds in one stone, with one stone. Okay, number one, we're going to do a chazara of everything we just did, but it's going to be a masked chazara. It's not really going to be a chazara, because this chazara is going to set up the following kasha, which is going to show us the psak halacha. So we're going to do all three in one right now. Okay, it should follow. Watch this. Whenever Reparnas said, watch this, everyone was like this. You guys don't have to do that yet because I'm not Reparnas, but you can still, okay? Watch this. It should come out as follows. That the Shita who holds Kedera Atzma works, which we said reflects the fact that he's working with hispashtus, because it absorbs the time of Esther, and therefore even though it doesn't have a time, it's able to absorb, should go hand in hand with the shita of Atzamos, who says that we do take into account Atzamos, the mandamer of Shishim, because just like Kedera Atzma, the Gufa Kedera, is able to absorb, which is we did hispashtus, so too the Atzamos, which we're using for our heter, should also be able to absorb, like we just said, midin hispashtus. They should go hand in hand. And also the other way. If by the Shita Lishna Basra, who rejected Gufa Kedera, and would never ever use the metallic substance, but rather, it needs only the blias of heter that were absorbed can you use, which we showed means, because they hold of hisnagdus, you need opposing tam, and a Gufa Kedera doesn't have that. That should go hand in hand with the Manda Amar of Meya, who says that we completely reject Atzamos because it doesn't have opposing tam. Because you need hisnagdus, you need an opposing tam. This analysis, one and two, step one and step two, should flow evenly the way we just set it up, which was a chazar. But this comes up with this causes a massive kasha. And this kasha actually validates everything we just said, because it's a kasha. Psak halacha, if you look up psak halacha, the tour, in Tzayites Aleph, and the Shulchan Aruch, in Tzayites Aleph, we see something very funny. The Torah and the Shulchan Aruch both paskin not to allow the Guf HaKedera to be used for Yashir Bittel. So what does that show us? If he doesn't allow the Guf HaKedera to work, no.
Second
shot. Yeah. He works with his Nagdus. You need an opposing tam. But guess what? A second later, really, or a second earlier, in the ratio of the Mechaber and the Torah, he paskins like the Rush, the Mechaber paskins like this as well, that when it comes to Atzamos, both the Atzamos of Heter can count towards your Heter, and even the Atzamos of Ister can count towards your Heter. Everything counts. All Atzamos count. But they don't have inherent meaningful time. So, Mimarashach, the Prisha. Prisha asks this Kasha. Says the Prisha, Mimarashach, if you're telling me that Kedera doesn't work, which shows me that you hold of his Nagdus, then Atzamos shouldn't work. Why is Atzamos working? And if you tell me that Atzamos are working because of his Pashtus, because it's able to absorb, they'll let Kedera work. Let the Gufa Kedera work. How can you split them sock? Either Bittel works this way or that way. That's the Kasha of the Prisha. And that's how we're going, that's the Stira and the Havanas of Sak of the Torah of Shulchan Aruch. Based on this Lumbus and based on these mechanics, that something is not shimming in Halacha. Should I say it again?
Yes.
The Mechaber, on the one hand, doesn't allow for Gufa Kedera to work, because it doesn't have tam, which shows us that he needs an opposing tam, hisnagdus. But on the other hand, he allows for atzamos, which doesn't have tam. He allows it to count toward yashir bittel. But how can that be? That's the kasha. So there are two approaches, one's technical, one's a little bit more lumdish, one lumdish approaches for how to answer and to resolve the seer. This is how we're going to end. Okay, but you have to hear the kasha. Shia, you hear the kasha? Okay.
Do bones absorb?
Bones absorb. Come on. Bones for sure absorb. Bones, come on.
We're taking as a davar kasha that bones have no time of their own.
Okay, so wait for that.
Oh.
I mean, yeah, because we see that atzamos right. Of Isser don't count.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to work with that a little
okay.
bit. Okay, let's before that. Okay. Says the Prisha, let's do the technical what?
If you're going to count marrow, then
No, marrow's out. Marrow's out. Marrow. Yeah, marrow's for sure, sir. So let's do the first answer, technical answer, and then we'll give the Chavos Das a little bit more of a lomadish kinach. Says the Prisha, a technical answer. Really, be'etzem, the Mechaber and the Tor hold be'esod hispashtus. That the way the Shear of Bittul works is by the Tam of Isser being mispashik, distributing evenly, such that it's diluted and you can't taste it anymore. And that explains what? No?
Atzamos.
That explains why Atzamos, the Mechaber, and the Shulchan Aruch, the Torah, all hold that Atzamos is able to count toward your Shear Bittul. Because it absorbs. So why, by Guf HaKedera, is he not allowing you to use it for your Shear Bittul? It also absorbs. So says the Prisha technical, the Mechaber and the Torah hold of Gzera. As far as new Gzera, that since if you use a Guf HaKedera to absorb the Blias of Isser, very often you're going to be speaking about kederas that are yeshanas, that are saveya milivloa. They're very saturated with tons of blias for the many years that you've been using this Gedera. And if we start allowing you to use a Gufa Gedera to absorb all of your Ister, it could be that you might end up using a Gedera that is Savea Milavlo, it's saturated, it's already packed to its gills with absorptions. You're not going to be able to absorb anymore. So because of that, so Kedera Yeshana, we're not going to allow you, it's a Gzera, we're not going to allow you to use that for Hispashtus. So the Prima Gadim says, well, okay, that's by Yeshana. Let the Mechaber at least allow you to use the Kedera Chadasha, a brand new Kedera you bought from Walmart. Let that absorb. Let that absorb Liyas. Oh, no, not nowadays, but back then at least. Let it absorb Liyas, Kedera Chadasha. So says the Prisha, he goes, another Chiddush, and a Hanami, that's a Gzera, Atu Yeshana. Atu Yeshana. Very technical. So B'Yesod, but in Lamdus it's very important. B'Yesod, says the Prisha, the Mechara holds of Hispashtus. It works through distributing evenly. Why does Kedera not work? That's a technicality. Kedera may sometimes be Savea Milavloa, saturated, you're not going to be able to absorb anymore. And don't ask it from Chadasha, because that's just a Gzera Atu Yeshana. And therefore, it comes out the Prisha of the Maskana, Mechara holds of Hispashtus, and technical reasons why he doesn't hold of Gufa Kedera. That was resolution number one. Yeah? Resolution number two, Shia. Even the technical ones have to need amkus, because the Maisa heals his pastures, okay? Resolution number two, Yisha number two, is the Chavaz Das, and which is what Max kind of alluded to before. And this is already a little bit of a Metzias issue. So you're gonna have to, but it's a Lomdisha category, you're gonna like this, Shia. Says the Chavaz Das in the Prima Gadim, that there is a fundamental difference between Atzamos and Kedera, and Gufa Kedera. Up until now, I put a blindfold over all of you, which is true. Lemaisa, this is the Pashtus. That just like a metallic substance doesn't have Tam, so too Atzamos don't have Tam. And that's going to be true. But says the Chavaz Das, Atzamos are not going to be completely no Tam. They just don't have a Tam, a full-fledged Tam. They have a Tam Kolosh. A very low-level tam, a partial tam, a gidanusha tam, a very low-level tam. They don't have a full-fledged tam. So says the Chavaz Das, really be yisod, the Mechaber holds of hisnagdus. But the atzamos of Isser won't hurt you because it's just a tam kolish. It doesn't have a full-fledged tam to negate, to aser, to help to aser the tarovis. But the tam of heter of the atzamos, although it's not a full-fledged, it can still serve the functionality of the mevalbel, the tam of Isha that comes out. So says the Chavaz Das, atzamos are a little bit of a notch above a gufa kedera. Gufa kedera has no tam whatsoever. Atzamos have a tam kolish. So tam kolish will not aser, therefore the atzamos won't hurt you. But the tam kolish will serve as an ability to mevalbel and to counteract and to work through hisnagdus to negate tam of Isser, and to neutralize it, and to make it, and mask it. So that's the Chavaz Das' Mahalach. So it comes out that really we have two different maskanas, lehalacha. The Fida Prisha, the Tor and the Mechaber, hold of Hispashtus, technicality by Kedera. The Fi, the Chavaz Das, and the Mishpat Zav also raises this possibility. The Mechaber and the Tor really hold of Hisnagdus, and Atzamos have a Tam Kolish, which will not hurt you, but will be able to Mevalbel, and that was Gilad, that was my point to you, Gilad, before, about Mevalbel and the Taz. If you look at the Taz in Sifkat and Beis is really playing around with these two Pshatim. He uses the word Lav Ne'achila, but at the same time he uses the word Mevalbel, so this is where the Prima Gadim is harping on this Nikuda of Hispashtus versus Hisnagdus. Okay, Shekoyach. Big Shabbos.